Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Happy Monday. Hope you had a great weekend. Man, it is hot out there. I love hot St. Louis summers. It feels like it just feels natural. If it were 70 degrees throughout the summer, wouldn't you feel like you were being cheated?
Yeah. And weird thing, when you say it feels natural, I get that. And I don't know why, because I had this thought yesterday. I thought, I don't know how to express that. But now that you said it, there is something about summer that is, especially in St. Louis, it's sweltering. It's humid. Everybody knows it. You're going to sweat. You're going to be kind of nasty if you're outside. It kind of takes away the pretense a little bit. And there's something about that that I enjoy. And nobody's all put together. Everybody's like, look, we're all sweating our butts off here.
My husband has been taking the shutters off of the house, respray painting all of them, and putting them back up. My oldest daughter has been helping. And they've been out in the heat of it. I think they're going to finish that job today. But once you get out and you're working in it, you just do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a lot of other things. You just have to, you could sit inside and sit in the air conditioning and, I don't know, be soft like that, which is what we do every day.
Yeah, me too.
But if you're somebody who is used to it, you know how to manage it. You know the signs of exhaustion or of, being overheated or whatever. You stay hydrated. You stop when you need to stop, but everything doesn't have to stop. But it is hot.
Mm-hmm.
Summer nights, though, man. I don't mean to quote Grease. I really don't. But summer nights are nice. So at about 7 o'clock, you go outside. You can do anything you want.
Well, when that
cut grass,
when that shadow hits, yeah. And you're not in the direct sunlight, yeah, then it changes. Man, I'm just thinking about like mowing grass in this, and it just was
painful.
Like Annie said, you get used to it, but at the end of the day, it's still not a good time. And you're paying attention. You're trying to make sure that am I still sweating?
Don't you feel better when you like put in a lot of work and labor? Like if you've worked up a little sweat, don't you feel like you earned it a little bit more?
Yeah, definitely.
It's a lot easier when it's 100 degrees outside. Yeah. You don't have to work as hard to feel like you worked hard.
Really, all I'm doing is just showing my wife.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if nobody's around to see it, I'm like, I don't want to be sweating. But if I'm working and I want somebody to see it, which I always do, then I like working in the summer because you sweat easier.
Let's talk about people who are working hard and people who aren't working hard. Listen to the sign.
What's that? Oh, you're back! They're back! The protesters are back! I missed you! Doing well. It's so hard for you. You gotta guess. Listen, dude, listen. Listen, let me explain something. You and I are in the same business. We're in the same business. Our business is to get people to see things the way we see it. The problem is you're in the wrong place. Do you hear how well I'm doing? This is what you want. You want to do well like I am. Look at the people here to hear me. Look at what happened to you.
More mocking, please.
That's great.
Keep showing up. These protesters at the PGA or whatever, you all look dumb. Keep it up.
Yeah.
You're not helping your cause.
Throwing paint on the Mona Lisa and the Stonehenge and stuff. It makes everybody just hate you.
Less of that, actually. I'm not really for that. But these people who are just showing up and trying to participate in what they're calling like peaceful disobedience, mischief. I mean, this is actually protesting. The taking over and trespassing at universities like Columbia and just starting to live there because that's what the kids are doing these days. And then you just hold the sign that they hand you. People who show up and cause a disturbance that doesn't hurt anybody and you try to get your message across, that's kind of the old-fashioned way. And when you do it to Jerry Seinfeld, he, on behalf of his audience, just makes fun of you. And it's funny.
Because context is very important for your message. For example, if I was going to do my little comedy show that I do, if I went to a Australian rules rugby game and I told...
Can you hear that he's mad? Can you hear that he's a little like...
He's edgy.
Like, he's decided, okay, I'm out of my set.
Yeah.
Now I'm going in on you.
Yeah.
You got my attention. Brace for impact. You can hear his little extra edge that he has going on here.
Well, this guy, I love this guy. If I said to this guy, You check out, I'm going to do my comedy act here. I would get that same reaction. I would get kicked out on my because that's not where I belong. Here's the other thing I think you need to go back and tell who's ever running your organization. We just gave more money to a Jew. That cannot be a good plan for you. That's not what you want. That's the whole problem. You got to come up with a better plan.
More mocking. I am all in favor of it. And I'm trying to think of the right side of the aisle. Like, what are our issues that we protest for? Life. We calmly line the streets and hold hands and stand silently. It's not in traffic. It's just where traffic can see you. What are the issues? I'm not asking this snidely. I'm asking live here on the show, like, what are the issues that the people on the right protest for that are very disruptive?
Ooh, that are very disruptive. I remember we protested to open schools. I mean, I don't know that was
to take masks, to let people choose whether to wear a mask or not. It wasn't even to like disallow masks. I don't care if your kid wears a mask, but don't tell me mine has to.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. We stood on the side, and literally the sign is still here, and all it said was "Show me that smile again." We protested in favor of smiles. Wow.
There was nothing like, we weren't stopping traffic. Nobody got violent.
Lots of people honking and waving.
Nothing got burned down.
Lots of smiling.
Yeah.
You could tell because nobody had their face covered.
That was one of the only protests I've ever really been to.
Oh, really?
I mean, I've been to a couple things. I don't know that I've ever actually done a pro-life protest. I've been around a lot of them I think maybe I have. I just don't remember. But that one was the one that I remember standing on the side of the road,
again,
holding a sign and being like,
indicative of the aggressive nature with which whatever protest you can't remember being a part of.
Yeah. Like, it was like, well, I mean, hopefully we got the message across.
Well, there I was running naked across the field. I think. I can't really remember.
I'm so high when I do that stuff.
Oh my
I don't
gosh.
Remember it.
What do we protest? What are we trying to bring attention to the way the left does? Are we doing it wrong?
I think a lot of their protesting, though, especially the stuff that gets violent and burns stuff down, that's not protesting. That's intimidation. That's trying to say, if you don't do what we want you to do,
it's infantile.
Yeah, we're going to hurt you. That is not a protest.
But that's why I'm saying, like, these protests at Jerry Seinfeld's comedy show, you walk in and everybody gets what they paid for.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mind it.
The hard thing for Seinfeld here is that this is what the second or third time this has happened to him now, that every time that he has a show, he's almost got to create a new 10, 15 minutes of material on protesters.
His first line is, oh, you're back. The protesters are back.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and because this is what, I mean, I've read the headlines and I watched some of this weekend that he had done this. People are going to keep paying attention to this part a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, the show's the show. Everybody enjoys the show. But this is the part that's making the news. So it's like he's got to keep coming up with new material to keep this stuff fresh. Otherwise, it's going to go away.
Who were the protesters with? What was their organization?
I don't know.
What was their cause?
Pro-Palestine Hamas.
Was it?
I don't. That's my assumption.
You don't know that.
I couldn't hear them.
Whose show was it at?
Jerry Seinfeld.
What did Jerry Seinfeld put the button on it? He said, you're giving money to a Jew. Like, that's...
Yeah.
When we're talking about sticking the landing, that's what Jerry Seinfeld is doing. If you're out there and you're protesting for a cause based on an organization and nobody can remember the cause of the organization, you did not win that round.
It's very true.
The congressional baseball game. Mm-hmm. Some morons ran out onto the field and... These people are, I'm pretty sure they're all climate people. The people at the PGA, climate people. Mm. Their signs are like, there's no golf on a dead planet.
Mm.
And it's like, that's true.
That is true.
Get off the green.
Yeah.
That's also true.
There's no golf on Venus. Too hot. Dead planet.
What about Mars?
Also a dead planet. As far as I know.
No atmosphere.
Maybe underground.
Do you know this?
No, I haven't been on. I haven't
What's
been to
your
Mars.
Source?
NASA.
These are just all the questions I usually ask you.
Yeah.
NASA. All right, I'll allow it. These people are protesting to save the planet. And I just feel like at the end of the day, they all look pretty dumb. They all look pretty used. And while you have these silly protests taking place at athletic events or comedy shows or whatever, there are also 12-year-old girls being lured under bridges by people who are here illegally being murdered. They better string those people up. They better get the death penalty. However, the death penalty, I know that the death penalty is being considered in pursuit. But if you come to this country and you break our laws to get here and you rape and murder our children, there should be no question what happens to you at all.
And there should be no question that America is united on that. Across political boundaries, across cultures, we should all agree that this is a line that cannot be crossed.
Glad you said that. Let's listen to MSNBC's Simone Sanders.
What do you tell the parents of those people, those young girls who were killed? This is the preponderance of these people, Michael, are male.
But what is the difference between an illegal immigrant who unfortunately engages in that activity?
And we don't like that. I want to be clear. We don't use the term illegal. So.
Yeah, we don't.
Oh, man. There's a word that I want to say right now that I am legally not allowed to say. When Simone Sanders is reacting to, this is Kevin Roberts, who's the president of Heritage Foundation. When he is talking about people who are here illegally and he calls them illegal immigrants, the discussion starts about this 12-year-old girl who was murdered, raped and murdered. And Simone is like, point of order, Mr. Roberts, here at MSNBC, we don't call them illegal. That's why nobody watches you. That's why nobody trusts you, because you care more about the political implications of calling a human illegal. You know what? They are illegals. Point blank. They are illegal people here in the United States committing illegal acts that are ending the lives of innocent Americans. Call them what they are. And I'll call you what you are, Simone. You're an ignorant tool for the left. And they're using you at every turn that they can.
The difference between an illegal immigrant who unfortunately engages in that activity.
And we don't like that. I want to be clear. We don't use the term illegal. So
yeah, we don't.
Undocumented individuals.
They're illegal aliens.
Undocumented individuals versus anyone else.
They're undocumented. They're illegal. Like, let's get our facts straight before we discuss the murderous rampage, the sexually deviant rape of a 12-year-old girl. But let's do them the honor of having respect for who they are as they're subhuman people because of what they did to this girl. And MSNBC's focus is to make sure that we dignify them by not calling them illegals. Man, I'm not even legally allowed to say what I want to call them on this air. We're so upside down, and vocabulary is where it all starts. When they can change and control you because of the words that you can use and the words you can't use, they can start to control everything else. What a mistake on her part. And I'm happy to play that clip over and over and over again so you know where the likes of Simone Sanders actually stand when it comes to these issues. I can't watch these stories as a parent.
I know. That's one that I hadn't heard that clip from MSNBC. It really makes me mad because you're exactly right, Annie. These are two illegal immigrants that lured a young girl under a bridge and murdered her.
And then threw her into the river.
Threw her in the river. They don't care. They don't care about anything. They care about nothing. And that's the issue that we are talking about. You take that issue onto MSNBC. And they immediately say, no, what we should be talking about here, let's drive this car a little bit differently, is defending the integrity of the illegal immigrants by calling them the right words. That is so... These people have lost their moral compass.
Yeah.
That is so ridiculous that it should make you angry to hear it.
It makes me furious. Like, I should take a break and not swear on these airwaves. Furious. Furious. It's disgusting. Simone Sanders, you're a disgusting individual for not respecting the life of that 12-year-old girl that was lost. Yes, please. Stand in front of the illegal aliens who are here in this country and defend them while everybody else is staring back at you going, what the hell are you doing? Let's lighten it up with Jay Ashcroft when we come back and some Missouri tax relief promises. I'm here for it. I know you are. Missouri, you've got a really big decision to be making here in a governor's race coming up. All those statewide elections taking place in Missouri. Don't have them in Illinois this year, unfortunately. But who's going to get that governor vote from you? We've got the Secretary of State, Jay Ashcroft, on the Annie Frye Show. We come back, and we're going to talk about a Missouri promise for a taxpayer bill of rights with the Secretary of State when we return. Don't go away. Welcome back to the Annie Frye Show. Thank you for being with us on another hot and steamy St. Louis afternoon. You're in the right place. We appreciate your time with us. And, you know, a lot of you folks in Missouri are making some decisions here in this Missouri primary that's coming up because you've got to select the best candidate for you and for the top job of governor in the state of Missouri and all those statewide opportunities. Several people running for different congressional seats. It's a big decision, and we want to make sure that you have the information that you need. I know Mark and Mark cover this a lot, and I like to take them as they come as well. And I love the opportunity to have the Secretary of State of Missouri, Jay Ashcroft, on the show. We've worked events together, and it's good to have him back here once again. Secretary, thanks for being here. Good to see you again.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Great to hear you blasting the truth across eastern Missouri.
Well, if I'm good at anything, it's blasting truth. That's what I try to do. Before we get into some of the things you're doing here in your campaign for to win the primary for Missouri governor, I want to ask you about the safety and security of elections in Missouri. Because when I talk to people about the election, a lot of people can't really imagine a scenario, should it be Trump and Biden, where it's going to swing in Biden's favor. And everybody says, if the elections are fair. Are the Missouri elections going to be fair?
Yeah, Missouri elections are fair. Donald J. Trump is going to win Missouri again. I'm concerned about Georgia, Arizona, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, maybe Nevada. Mm. But in Missouri, we can trust that the people will make the decision and we'll know soon enough to have our beverage of choice at night.
Fantastic. What's the difference? Like in Missouri, as Secretary of State, what have you done to ensure that you don't have those concerns in the state of Missouri that you do have in all those swing states that you just listed?
We finally implemented a government-issued photo ID requirement for voting. We've outlawed provisional ballots if people go to early voting to make sure that it's only used appropriately. We've outlawed drop boxes. We've outlawed Zuckerbucks or private funding. We've made the paper ballot the official ballot of the state so that we're not going back to ones and zeros on some sort of election machine to know who won. We don't have time to list them all, but that's why I trust this. We've also limited how many absentee ballots can get sent to one address. We saw what happened at nursing homes in Wisconsin. And what we've decided is that we will make sure that if there are a bunch of people that want to vote at a nursing home, we will vote them in person so that we know that they're actually who they say they are and that they're actually voting their ballots.
Yeah, I know that's something that Illinois, certainly the nursing home situation, has not gotten right, but that's just a huge pile of a mess over here in our state. We're speaking with the Missouri Secretary of State, Jay Ashcroft, and we're going to talk about his commitment to the Missouri taxpayer here in a second. Last question on the national election that's going to take place. I'm curious what the rules are in the state of Missouri. If Joe Biden is initially the nominee and then for whatever particular reason gets replaced before the election actually occurs, is there any concern about absentee votes or early votes that might take place in the state of Missouri? Do those Biden votes early just automatically go to the Democratic nominee? The delegates just get to transfer their vote? How does that function in this state?
Yeah, votes do not transfer from one individual to the next. We don't do any sort of ranked choice voting in Missouri. If the Democrats were to replace Joe Biden on the ticket, what would happen would depend on when they did it.
Okay.
If they do it early enough, Joe Biden's name would not appear on the general election ballot and some other individual's name would appear on that ballot. If for some reason it happened after that, then it would have to be dealt with by the actual presidential electors from Missouri as part of the Electoral College. But let's be honest here. Donald Trump's going to win Missouri. It doesn't matter who the Democrats run. We've seen enough of what the Democrats have done in Washington, D.C. We're strong Trump country here.
Yeah, I would agree. I think that that's the correct sentiment. I'm just curious to see what happens next with these Democrats. I don't think that they're on the right track in any way, shape or form. Watching what's going on in the state government in Missouri and comparatively speaking to the supermajority of Democrats that I have in my home state of Illinois, it's interesting to watch the pinch points in both of those legislatures as they're trying to get things done. And I hear a lot of criticism from within the Republican Party about the Republican Party in the state of Missouri. And I kind of look to the governor's position to be a uniter, to be somebody who understands that maybe a Republican out of a more purple area has different perspectives than Republicans out of the most rural areas. I'm wondering what you think about the severed nature of the Missouri Republican Party, and if you were to be elected to be the nominee for the Republicans for that governor spot, how you would work to unite the state?
Well, I think it's exactly what the Bible says, where there is no vision, the people perish. It's like a boat without a rudder right now. We have not had a governor that was leading on conservative issues. The governor was not leading to get initiative petition reform. The governor was not calling for an end to our personal income tax. When the legislature and the Senate passed a bill that would only protect children from chemical and surgical mutilations for 4 years instead of permanently, the governor wasn't out there using his position to say, no, I'm going to veto that. You're going to come back and we're going to protect against these transgender surgeries in perpetuity. We just have not had that leadership. Yes, you need to work with the legislature. You need to listen to them. You need to speak with them. I've passed more legislation than any other statewide official in the last 8 years. But you also need a governor that's going to say, this is what we need to do. You need a leader that can call people to be even better and to do things that they don't even realize they can do. We haven't had that. That's what I'll do as governor.
Speaking with the Secretary of State, Missouri's Secretary of State, Jay Ashcroft. Of course, he's a candidate for governor here in the state of Missouri. One of the things that you are committing to is tax relief for Missourians, and you're about to sign a pledge that says so, the Missouri Promise for a Taxpayer Bill of Rights. What do you want voters to understand about this commitment that you're looks like you're going to sign tomorrow, or is that correct?
Tomorrow. Yeah, well, what I want them to understand is I realize, just as they do, that government's the problem. We don't have a revenue problem. We have a spending problem. And it's not the government's money. It's the people's money, and the people spend it better than government. Mm. And government should be limited to only doing those things that have to be done but cannot be done by individuals or other private enterprise. We need a governor that will say, you know what? We're going to be zero-based budget. You have to show us why every dime you want as an agency or department is right for the people of the state to give you, instead of just saying we're going to increase your budget 3 or 4% every year, regardless of whether or not you're really doing what the people need or whether it's essential. We need a governor that will say education spending, roads, bridges, inland waterways, public safety. Beyond that, why is government doing it? Let people make their own decisions. Give them the ability to spend their own money, to take their own risks, and to reap the rewards of their hard work. And I hate the state income tax because we penalize people for working and we subsidize people that for not working. And for years, our legislature has been subsidizing illegal immigrants in our state. We'll never stop the flow of illegal immigrants to Missouri if our legislature keeps paying them to be here.
How do you, Secretary, get the job done? How do you get the Republicans to come together? I mean, you got a lot of them elected into the legislature. I assume that after this election in November, it'll continue to be the case. Depends on what kind of Republican, but Republican nonetheless.
Yes.
How do you, as that leader of that party, get the job done?
Well, first of all, you use the authority you have. We have the line item veto. We even have a line item reduction veto in this state for the governor, and yet our budgets have exploded. I'm looking forward to being governor and being able to say, this is not good spending for the people of Missouri. I'm vetoing that. I'm looking forward to standing before the legislature and saying, these are the priorities that the people of this state need. And until you pass these, I'm going to veto anything else you try to pass. And if you are voting against the things that the people of this state need, I'm going to be in your district letting the people know where you stand and how you're hurting the state of Missouri. I'm not there for the swamp like my predecessor. I'm there for the people of this state. And frankly, I don't go looking for trouble, but my wife will tell you when I see it coming, I dig in my heels.
I appreciate the perspective of the wife always. We're speaking with Missouri Secretary of State, of course, Jay Ashcroft, on the show with us right now. He's a candidate for governor for Missouri as we approach that Missouri primary election coming soon. Just your open thoughts on the primary race so far. There's a lot of people, you know, we sitting here in St. Louis, of course, we have a split audience. It's more Missouri than Illinois. Some people are following this incredibly closely. But as you know, there are people who aren't even paying attention to Donald Trump and Joe Biden right now. What do you want people to know about what it's like to run for governor?
You know, I want people to know that it's important that they self-educate. It's important that they look at people's records, because the governor of the state can truly make a difference in whether my children and yours and the next generation stay in Missouri. Missouri needs to be a state that exports our product, not our children. We need to be a state that is an economic freedom zone that people want to come to and that they know they can be successful here. The right governor can help lead to that. The wrong governor leads in the opposite direction.
Tell me about it. I was just thinking about, you know, as somebody who lives in Illinois, my governor is J.B. Pritzker. It hurts me to even say those words out loud. But when Joe Biden is the president of the United States and you have a Republican governor of your state, you are insulated in certain areas from the wrath of what the Democrat progressives want to do to your life, how they want to control your life. If you got a blue president and a blue governor, you get the full throttle version of what far left progressivism has to offer. When you think,
you would think so.
Well, that's my question. Like, to you, as a Republican candidate to vie for that nomination, is Missouri doing what it needs to do in that position of the governorship to insulate the people of Missouri from the oppressive leftism of the president of the United States?
No, we're not. Our budget doubled in the last 5 to 7 years. Our budget has grown faster than Illinois. Republicans that say they're for small government have doubled our government. Republicans that say they're for low taxes passed the largest tax increase in the history of the state 3 years ago. Republicans that say they care about values aren't willing to stand up and fight for every child in the womb and protect mothers going through a difficult time. If you don't stand for life, there is no possibility for liberty and the pursuit of happiness. We have a governor that decided on his own during COVID that he could declare whether or not your worship was essential or not. That's not a Republican ideal. A Republican ideal is that you decide.
Yeah, that's so true. Somebody on our comments, on our chat here on YouTube says, Ashcroft doesn't want to provide more services. He's looking at states like Arkansas for inspiration. You know, when it comes to the spending, you're talking about the ballooning budget. Do you cut services? How do you get the budget down? And where do you look to for inspiration?
Yeah, you do cut. Look, our budget has gone up by over $20 billion over the last 5 years. Our state income tax or personal income tax is $8.5 billion. Do the math. We can cut.
Yeah.
And let's be honest here. When the government provides you a service, it costs more and it's generally bad service.
Yeah.
When the private sector does it, it's cheaper because of competition and they do a better job. And we've got to remember that government is not the outcome we want. We want free people making their own decisions, living their own lives, and reaping the reward of their hard work. You do that not with government and red tape, but by getting government out of the way.
Secretary, when you see Democrats identify all these problems, a lot of times they are the creator of the problem, but they always have a solution to offer. It's more government. Why is it that you think that your counterparts, your opponents on the other side of the aisle, always do go to government to solve the problem?
You know, sadly, it's not just my opponents on the other side of the aisle. I mean, Tax Hike Mike has supported numerous tax hikes when the state had billions of dollars of revenue. That's not a good thing. He voted multiple times to sell our farmland to China. He doesn't believe that we need to make sure that every child in the womb is protected. We have too many people that run as Republicans but don't actually agree that we, the people, should be in charge.
Well, Secretary of State Jay Ashcroft, thank you for the time today. I encourage people to check out that Missouri promise for a taxpayer bill of rights that the secretary will be signing tomorrow, Tuesday. We appreciate you being on the show with us. We look forward to having you back again soon.
Thanks for having me. Have a great day.
You bet. Anytime. Thank you so much. The Secretary of State of Missouri, Jay Ashcroft. Good to talk to him on the show. Man, he makes a lot of good points. And the obvious question is, why do I live in Illinois?
What he said shocked me, though, when he said, no budget, our budget has grown faster than Illinois'. Yeah, that stands out.
Illinois might be at the ceiling.
You may be right.
I mean, I understand the point. That doesn't mean, I mean, Illinois is a huge state, comparatively. I think Chicago is 62 or 67% of the population of the state. Mm. People don't realize that. It's huge.
Yeah.
It's when people talk about Chicago controlling the state, it is if you're going per capita, that's where the people are. But they live an incredibly different lifestyle than anybody who's suburban or rural lives in Illinois. And that is a lot of Illinois. When you get people who are like, let's tax people by the mile when they drive. Oh, hi. In order for me to put food on my family, I have to drive 25 miles each way every day because that's where the jobs are. Because I live in suburban Southern Illinois and would like to live in rural Illinois. And I should be on the hook for more of that just because I have to drive farther to work because I don't live in a pedestrian only neighborhood. That's what happens when you have people like do that in Chicago. You want to do that in Chicago? Do it in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Don't make the rest of the state deal with that because that's not how we live our lives. I think someone made that comment in the YouTube chat as well, that the impact that Chicago has over the rest of the state of Illinois is larger than the Kansas City, St. Louis contingent over the state of Missouri. But it's just so populous. That's why it's the third largest city in the country.
Right.
And it's a beautiful city. Chicago is a wonderful city. It's in the wrong hands. You could say the same thing about St. Louis. Let's take a quick break. More Annie Fry Show around the corner. Let's answer this question, which you can answer as well on the Annie Fry YouTube channel. In the live chat poll, how should Donald Trump approach the Thursday debate? Should he be aggressive or should he be calm and not attacking? Annie Fry YouTube channel, live chat poll. We'll be right back. What are other activities that the presidents could compete in order to get people's votes, like a dance-off? That's what I was thinking.
I was thinking like a swim meet.
That would solve. Well.
Oh, man.
For the one who makes it.
I'd watch it, is all I'm saying. I'd watch it.
Ryan's out here talking about water aerobics.
Yeah.
What kind of swimsuits do you think they wear? I mean, we've seen Joe Biden's boxers.
You know those like old ones that like shorts. Taft wore in 1919? Those.
I don't.
We weren't there for that, Ryan. You keep forgetting that.
Yeah. It's the old-fashioned bathing
suit. Not everybody remembers, Ryan.
Some of them would look like full women's bathing suits now, like would they have the full straps that come up, but other ones would have been the stripy ones, not black and white stripe like prisoners,
blue and white. They should make a swimming contest where your opponent gets to choose your suit.
I'm fine with that.
Amanda says a pie-eating contest.
Yeah, I'd watch that too.
Can you imagine the confidence that Donald Trump would have going into a pie eating contest? Nobody's ever eaten a pie like that before.
I think he'd have confidence going into any contest.
I know.
Against anyone.
Like, what's the most humbling thing that they could do? I think maybe a swimming contest might be up there. What else is there?
A swimsuit karaoke competition.
Karaoke contest.
Karaoke. Yeah. Surfing.
Do you think either one of them can sing? Have we ever heard either one of them sing? We've heard Barack Obama sing. And Barack Obama is a classic, can carry a tune, but I wouldn't call him a singer. He's like mortal when it comes to that.
I don't know if I've ever heard any of those guys sing.
He sang Amazing Grace at Aretha Franklin.
Who? Oh, really? I don't think I remember that.
Did Aretha Franklin die? She did.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's R-E-S-P-I-C-T, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I remember a lot of things from her funeral.
Yeah.
I just couldn't remember if it was hers. The details are clear. You remember him singing Amazing Grace? No?
It makes sense that would have been where that would have happened, but no, I don't remember that at all. I'm surprised. It makes sense that he would have done it after he's not president anymore, because it's a liability if you're running for office that people would just use that forever.
Do you think Joe Biden can sing? And I'm not talking like he's not going to come out and be Adele, but if he could,
well, not now. I think
Info Dude says a bike riding contest. a bike race.
He would have. I think he would have been able to sing before he can't talk.
Don't you think that most people, like the majority of people, can carry a tune? Carry a tune. It doesn't have to mean that the tone of your voice is what other people want to hear, but you sang to your kids or your grandkids, and you could carry a tune, and people knew what you were singing.
I'll give you majority, 51%, because I have heard some people who cannot.
Do they know?
Yeah.
Oh. It's worse when they don't.
Does it stop them?
The only time I've ever done karaoke was in just somebody's apartment. And it was like one of those random PlayStation 2 games that had karaoke as a part of it. And man, that guy did not know that he couldn't sing.
Was he drunk?
No. He had probably had a couple, but he wasn't drunk.
Was he influenced?
Yeah, he was influenced.
Well, that's the worst.
And he was going for it. And it was really funny because he didn't know how bad it was.
Did you tell him?
Yeah.
Ryan.
After he was done, I pulled him aside.
You're like, dude, you suck.
Listen, you just made an absolute fool of yourself in front of everyone.
It's the same thing they're going to say to Joe Biden after the debate. He thinks he's doing a good job. Let him go. Let him go. How should Donald Trump approach the Thursday debate? I don't feel like there's any possibility that people are like, he should go out and be very aggressive. But I want to make sure what y'all think.
I would like to see him be aggressive in word, but not in action. Like, I want his tone to be subdued.
I want him to be such a non-issue. There are people out there like, oh, you know how old Donald Trump is. He's slipping. I don't want him to go into like comatose vegetable Joe Biden mode. But I would, if he's going to attack, I think he should say, the current administration. I don't think he should say Joe Biden. He should not say Sleepy Joe. He shouldn't say any of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He should talk policy and let the story. I mean, I think people should walk away from this debate going, that was pretty boring. That's a win for Trump. And I mean, other than that, you watch Joe Biden up there try to make it through, and everyone like gives him the toddler round of applause when they come into the room and spin a circle and say, ta-da. And you're like, hooray. Look what he did. We'll talk more about it in the next. What are other activities that the presidents could compete in order to get people's votes? Like a dance-off. That's what I was thinking.
I was thinking like a swim meet.
That would solve. Well.
Oh, man.
For the one who makes it.
I'd watch it, is all I'm saying. I'd watch it.
Ryan's out here talking about water aerobics.
Yeah.
What kind of swimsuits do you think they wear? I mean, we've seen Joe Biden's boxers.
You know those like old ones that like shorts. Taft wore in 1919? Those.
I don't.
We weren't there for that, Ryan. You keep forgetting that.
Yeah. It's the old-fashioned bathing
suit. Not everybody remembers, Ryan.
Some of them would look like full women's bathing suits now, like would they have the full straps that come up. But other ones would have been the stripy ones. Not black and white stripe, like prisoners.
They should
blue
make,
and white.
They should make a swimming contest where your opponent gets to choose your suit.
I'm fine with that.
Amanda says a pie eating contest.
Yeah, I'd watch that too.
Can you imagine the confidence that Donald Trump would have going into a pie eating contest? Nobody's ever eaten a pie like that before.
I think he'd have confidence going into any contest.
I know.
Against anyone.
Like, what's the most humbling thing that they could do? I think maybe a swimming contest might be up there. What else is there?
A swimsuit
karaoke
competition.
Karaoke contest.
Karaoke. Yeah, surfing.
Do you think either one of them can sing? Have we ever heard either one of them sing? We've heard Barack Obama sing. And Barack Obama is a classic, can carry a tune, but I wouldn't call him a singer. He's like mortal when it comes to that.
I don't know if I've ever heard any of those guys sing.
He sang Amazing Grace at Aretha Franklin.
Who? Oh, really? I don't think I remember that.
Did Aretha Franklin die? She did.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's R-E-S-P-I-C-T, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I remember a lot of things from her funeral.
Yeah.
I just couldn't remember if it was hers. The details are clear. You remember him singing Amazing Grace? No?
it makes sense that that's would have been that would have been where that would have happened. But no, I don't remember that at all. I'm surprised. It makes sense that he would have done it after he's not president anymore, because it's a liability if you're running for office that people would just use that forever.
Do you think Joe Biden can sing? And I'm not talking like he's not going to come out and be Adele, but if he could,
well, not now. I think
Info Dude says a bike riding contest. a bike race.
He would have. I think he would have been able to sing before he can't talk.
Don't you think that most people, like the majority of people, can carry a tune? Carry a tune. It doesn't have to mean that the tone of your voice is what other people want to hear, but you sang to your kids or your grandkids, and you could carry a tune, and people knew what you were singing.
I'll give you majority, 51%, because I have heard some people who cannot.
Do they know?
Yeah.
Oh. It's worse when they don't.
Does it stop them?
The only time I've ever done karaoke was in just somebody's apartment. And it was like one of those random PlayStation 2 games that had karaoke as a part of it. And man, that guy did not know that he couldn't sing.
Was he drunk?
No. He had probably had a couple, but he wasn't drunk.
Was he influenced?
Yeah, he was influenced.
Well, that's the worst.
And he was going for it. And it was really funny because he didn't know how bad it was.
Did you tell him?
Yeah.
Brian.
After he was done, I pulled him aside.
You're like, dude, you suck.
Listen, you just made an absolute fool of yourself in front of everyone.
It's the same thing they're going to say to Joe Biden after the debate. He thinks he's doing a good job. Let him go. Let him go. How should Donald Trump approach the Thursday debate? I don't feel like there's any possibility that people are like, he should go out and be very aggressive. But I want to make sure what y'all think.
I would like to see him be aggressive in word, but not in action. Like, I want his tone to be subdued.
I want him to be such a non-issue. There are people out there like, oh, you know how old Donald Trump is. He's slipping. I don't want him to go into like comatose vegetable Joe Biden mode. But I would, if he's going to attack, I think he should say, the current administration. I don't think he should say Joe Biden. He should not say Sleepy Joe. He shouldn't say any of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He should talk policy and let the story. I mean, I think people should walk away from this debate going, that was pretty boring. That's a win for Trump. And I mean, other than that, you watch Joe Biden up there try to make it through, and everyone like gives him the toddler round of applause when they come into the room and spin a circle and say, ta-da. And you're like, hooray. Look what he did. We'll talk more about it in the next.